Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen.
Good morning. We have Dr. Kate Ackerman. Really excited to have her on. Such a leading expert in female athletes. So we'll ask her a little bit more about her unique program that she helps head. Dr. Ackerman graduated from Johns Hopkins University in 2002. She currently works in Boston and specializes in endocrinology, diabetes and metabolism, and pediatric sports medicine. Whew. What do you not do? Dr. Ackerman's affiliated with the Boston Children's Hospital, and she also is fluent in English, Portuguese, and Spanish.
Wow. Okay, that is a lie. I don't know where you read that, but okay.
I'm not fluent
in Portuguese and Spanish. I can speak a little bit. Where did you find that?
I don't know. We had to pull up a bio real quick.
I would just go with it if I were you.
Right. If you can speak it, that means you're fluent, right?
Right. Okay.
And the other part that's interesting is that you have a background in being on the USA rowing team as well and still serve as the physician for them, correct?
Yep, one of the physicians, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. And she's also at a hospital, so yes, there will be some sirens in the background, but that's not her, so it's okay. So we'll jump into that. We're so thankful that you're on here today. So one of the things I want to know is, how did your history as a competitive rower lead you into this area that you're so passionate about now as a physician?
So when I was on the U.S. team, my team physician was an orthopedic surgeon and a female, which was really exciting. And the other team physician was a primary care sports medicine female, which was cool. So I had two great role models as an athlete, and I happened to be in med school while he's on the team. That's a whole other thing. I don't recommend that. It's kind of hard to juggle those two. But I knew that I really loved sports medicine. And as a competitive athlete, I felt that there were a lot of issues that were female specific that weren't really being addressed. And that a lot of the sports medicine research had been done in men. And a lot of the things that they talk about in sports are about men. And so it was nice to have these two female role models. And I soon realized that there was actually a subspecialty in medicine that was for non-surgeons. And I was really excited about having a relationship with my patients and having sort of a long-term relationship rather than just operating on them, getting them through the rehab and being done. And I found that with internal medicine, there were a lot of issues that related to having a longitudinal relationship with athletes. So I love the female athlete part. I love the fact that there were lots of medical issues in sports that aren't necessarily orthopedic only. Mm-hmm. And I thought that there was really a niche that should be carved out there for female athletes to address issues that weren't getting a lot of attention.
Well, great. And hence why we're following that with this podcast. It's hard to find one that talk about all the balance that's necessary. And also it took me a while, but I read the position statement that you were part of that talked about amenorrhea, and, you know, it's not as simple as, oh, just our period goes away. I was fascinated by all the differences with like polycystic ovary syndrome and the treatment. So you have really been a trailblazer for that. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. Well, I think a lot of people, hear one term and then they immediately think that that's what it is. So we know that a lot of female athletes lose their menstrual cycle because they're not fueling enough and they're dialing up their intensity and their volume of training and they lose their cycle. And so the people that are aware that that's not good immediately think, oh, it's female athlete triad. So let's just, you know, address triad. Some people inappropriately just throw girls and women on the pill, mm-hmm. and that's not really addressing the nutritional aspect. And then some patients don't even have triad or don't even have this relative energy deficiency, but they might have something else. So for example, I saw a dancer once that was sent to me appropriately for her not having her period, but it turned out she had a pituitary mass. It wasn't because she was eating enough. So a lot of times I do endocrine workups to make sure that there's not another cause. A lot of the elite level athletes at the Olympic level wouldn't be able to sustain training underfueled for years and years and years. And so many of the women at the elite level who have no menstrual cycle have or irregular cycles can have something else like polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's important to figure out what the cause is before just giving it a label and assuming that that's what the athlete has.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can you tell us how it came that you started or were a part of this unique program with the female athlete program at the hospital?
Well, I was really excited to kind of combine sports medicine and endocrinology and just to explain what endocrinology is, it's hormones. And so a lot of the hormones that are important for menstrual cycle are also important for bones. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing a lot of female athletes with stress fractures. And I was seeing a lot of girls that were seeing multiple specialists and not having a full picture put together. So, for example, a young lady who had an eating disorder was seeing someone in adolescent medicine. She'd had stress fractures, so she'd seen a sports doctor. She had some GI complaints, so she was seeing GI. She had constipation that was related to her eating disorder. So she had all these different people, and nobody said, wait a minute, I think this has to do with your underfueling and your anxiety and your overtraining, and this is all one thing. So I felt this real need to kind of have a multidisciplinary program. There were other physicians that I worked with that felt the same way. And then the marketing team also thought it made a lot of sense. So we were able to kind of all come together at the same time to put a proposal together where we could be one program that could solve a lot of needs for our female athletes.
That's great. Yeah, and from that spurred the Female Athlete Conference, which I finally got to go to in June, and I know she wants to go the next time, so it's really exciting. You had such dynamic speakers that were there.
And I'm just curious, are you treating female athletes just in the Boston area, or do you have women coming from, where are they coming from?
We have people from all over, so it's really kind of blown up. You know, I think we're trying to expand to meet more needs. I would love for there to be way more providers throughout the country. There are some, but some people are coming from places that don't have a lot of sports endocrine expertise, so then they do fly in. We have a fantastic sports dietitian who's here, and people come to see her too. We get called about consults. I do have patients that are flown in from other parts of the country, and we have some international consults as well.
Yeah, well, it's a very unique program. I love it. And that's awesome that you guys started that. So tell us a little bit of the trends you've been seeing in female athlete health, and what are some of your predictions of things coming up?
One thing that I think is terrific is that people are getting more vocal about specific female athlete issues, which obviously is a female and a person who's running this female athlete course, I think is great. I think we need to be talking about more things that have been sort of taboo. And I think there's a lot of role model female athletes that are doing that. So there are runners that are putting things out on Twitter and on their Instagram and are writing blogs about the fact that they suffered from female athlete triad, that they had relative energy deficiency, that they had multiple stress fractures, that they had really severe eating disorders, and they're being open about it, which is really helpful for a lot of young girls who think that they have to be stick thin to be successful. And then they're getting role models saying, actually, I made that mistake, and this is why I was out for an entire year and you didn't see me, or this is why I had all those injuries and I've since seen the light. So I think there's more talk out there, which is great. I think as we talk more about eating disorders and triad and relative energy deficiency, it seems like there's an epidemic, but really it's because people weren't discussing it before. So we really need to be paying attention to the fact that there are a lot of girls struggling as their bodies change during adolescence. They're trying to keep their sort of prepubescent body habitus, which isn't healthy. And they're trying to, you know, deal with their stress and deal with all these different things by having some restriction while they're training a ton. I'm seeing trends of more and more of these patients showing up, whether it's because we're discussing it or life is getting more stressful or a combination. I also see that people are talking more about edgier topics. So we tried to do that at our conference this year, where we talked about sexualization in sport, where girls feel this need to be amazing athletes, but also look perfect and look like the societal ideal. And sometimes they put themselves up on websites and put themselves up and put their pictures out there where they're looking overly sexy and getting bashed for that. And then at the other side, where guys are not even acknowledging how great these girls are as athletes and only focusing on what they look like. And then you get professional athletes who are phenomenal and they feel bad about themselves because somebody's judging their look rather than how well they did. So I think this is all getting talked about more, which I think is terrific. And we just need to get louder and make sure that more people are addressing it.
How about, I'm just thinking, topics and issues with female athletes or active women, women's health, what are still more research needed in different topics or different aspects that you think?
So one of my colleagues here at Children's is doing great work with ACL reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So her name is Dr. Martha Murray. She's the surgical director of our program, and she's been doing great work in terms of this thing called BEAR. So it's a bridge enhanced ACL repair. You should look her up. She's mm-hmm. the only one doing it so far. And then she's the one who came up with it and did all the research behind it. And then she has grants so that some of the other physicians in our practice are part of her studies to see if using this sponge with these special blood products on it and using that to repair the ACL instead of actually reconstructing it with a whole different tissue like the hamstring will eventually lead to a more anatomic position to prevent arthritis, which most people get after they've had their ACL redone. Mm. So that's been great for women because women have a much higher rate of ACL tear.
Right.
A lot of that has to do with our build and the fact that our quads are more dominant than our hamstrings, the fact that we go through adolescence, that it's much harder for us to put on muscle than it is for men. So that's an intervention that could be really changing and revolutionizing knee issues for female athletes, which is terrific. In terms of, and more work needs to be done, you know, that's not something that's offered for everybody yet because it's still in trials. And so far we have a lot of patients that have done really well with it, but it's not something that every doctor knows of yet. Another thing is concussion. So we think that women tend to have longer duration of their concussion symptoms. They also report more symptoms. And who knows if that's because women are better communicators or because that they really have more and different symptoms. So that's an area that needs to be investigated. Tons of stuff needs to be done in terms of the menstrual cycle and injury rate with the menstrual cycle. What is the right time in the menstrual cycle where people are ideal? Who knows? I think it's really hard because those studies are expensive. So when you just ask a girl about her menstrual cycle, that's not the same as getting labs every day to really see what the hormone levels are. So are there higher rates of ACL injury at a certain time? Are there higher rates of concussion at a certain time? A lot of that needs to be done, and those are expensive projects that need to be funded. So we need more money for female athlete specific research.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, you would have saved me a whole lot when I was 16.
Uh-huh. Right.
I have the lovely scar.
Yeah.
So I'm going to flip for just a second. As a parent, now having a daughter that's entering into sports, what are some tips or guidance that you would give to parents to kind of make sure that their young female athlete is maintaining their health through their athletic career?
First of all, I think it's really good for kids to be doing a lot of different things and trying lots of stuff. So I'm not a huge fan of early sports specialization. I think if you're going to specialize early, and some sports do need that, if you're going to go to the Olympics for, you know, gymnastics or figure skating, you probably have to start pretty young. But even in those kinds of sports, we need to be making sure that kids are getting lots of different exposure to things and that they're doing strength training and that they're doing cardio and they're having fun and they get some free play. Things are getting very pigeonholed very early, which puts a lot of stress on kids. And I found, and there's studies that have shown this, that when you have a young girl who started very early in one sport and something goes awry, then that really can be a setup for some bad coping mechanisms. So if a person identifies as a gymnast since the age of 2 and then they get an injury and then they can't be with other friends at the gym and they don't really have any other outlets, a lot of times that causes a lot of anxiety. It can be a sort of a setup for an eating disorder. So I really want my kids to be involved in a lot of stuff. I don't want them to be overly stressed early on. I want them to be really having fun with sports because we know that it's just a healthy thing to do. And for most activities, these are things you can carry on through your life as long as you don't burn out too early and you have the strength and, you know, the right training early on. So I guess my big message is don't try to be in a hurry, you know, let people actually enjoy it and make sure that they're really well-rounded and that they're fueling while they do it. And don't focus on the body part so much. I think we have an issue with obesity in this country, but the athletes that I see are at the other end. And they're being told so much about, okay, well, don't get fat. And then they come to my clinic and we're like, you need to eat, you're too thin. Yeah. And so we have to make people focus on nutrition and health and having energy to do sport and feeling powerful. And then some of that will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great tips for parents. And sometimes that's where the education needs to go. Well, Dr. Ackerman, we ask every interviewee how they live out the FIT philosophy. How do you focus on kind of increasing performance, focusing on health, intellect, and taking time for self? So how do you find the balance with all of the things that you're doing out there?
Well, I think balance is an interesting word. You know, we're all striving for it, but I think few of us actually achieve it. You know, they always say you can do anything, you just can't do everything. I believe that you can do anything and everything, just not at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there are times when I'm more focused on trying to train and row with my friends and enter a race, and I don't enter as many races as I used to. I focus on a few a year or two a year. And so I still like to get out there and row, and I like to work out with friends. In terms of health, doctors are notoriously horrendous about self-care. So, you know, we try to get to the doctor and do what we're supposed to. We all could be better about taking care of ourselves. In our female athlete program, though, we have a lot of great women who are all reminding each other about self-care. So mm-hmm. we like to get to your tea about time for self. I think that's where we like to do things like go and get manicures and remind ourselves when we're really stressed out, like that we have to just take a little break and do some nice things for ourselves. And the intellectual part, I think we got that in spades around here. We're always trying to push the envelope in terms of research and in terms of learning new stuff and trying to inform our patients and ourselves. So, you know, it's all a bunch of different things. So when I'm really caught up in doing stuff with my kids, maybe some of my workouts slide a little bit. And if I'm really caught up in doing some great stuff with the female athlete conference, you know, maybe I'm not getting as much time to get my nails done. But overall, the big picture, we get it done. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Great. I like that. We'll try to do a little bit of any and everything, but we can't do it all at the same time.
So true.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming on. So we'll look forward to seeing you in June of 2019 will be the next one.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we do it every other year so we can take care of ourselves in between.
That's right. All right, Queens. Well, it was a pleasure having Dr. Ackerman on. We'll be sure to put on the notes some of her suggestions, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fit for a Queen.
Hashtag Fit for a Queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, Queens.